Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Zechariah, John's father, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. The Gospel of the Lord. Today's first reading, we see that great prophecy we heard on Sunday. David, who was a simple shepherd, the least in his family. Shepherds were not famous or important people in the ancient world. Prophet Samuel showed up at Jesse's home, because God had sent him there. He was the runt of the family. And yet, from that very low status, he'd become the king of Israel. God had given him such incredible courage. He had taken down Goliath and would have been famous forever. Tens of thousands of others he had put down to establish the kingdom. And now, as he was nearing the end of his reign, he wanted to thank the Lord. He wanted to build him a house. He said, Why am I dwelling in a palace of splendor when the Ark of the Covenant, the strongest sign we have of God's presence in the world, is in a hovel? So Nathan the prophet said, Hey, that's a holy desire. And it was a holy desire to do something for God. We wouldn't have this unless that holy desire had palpitated in the hearts of the French Canadians a century ago. But God said, no. God, who is love and who's always overflowing that love, knew that he wanted to do something even greater. He allows us to build beautiful temples because he knows that that will change us, remind us of his beauty. And there would be a temple built. But before that temple would be built, God wanted to give a lesson. So he sent Nathan to David in saying, You want to build me a temple? I'm going to build you one. I will build you a place. A house I will establish. I'll make your kingdom firm. And I will be a father to your son, and he shall be a son to me. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall stand firm forever. And that promise was fulfilled at the Annunciation when the Archangel Gabriel, 1,000 years later, comes and says, Rejoice, O highly favored daughter, the Lord is with you. You will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I will give him the throne of David, his father. And of his kingdom there will be no end. God kept that promise 1,000 years later to do something far greater than building a temple that was considered in the ancient world one of the greatest wonders. Today, in Zechariah's praise, with which he exploded after 9 months of medicinal silence at the circumcision of his son John the Baptist, that's what he was praising God for. because he recognized even in his son, who was sanctified in that womb by the one who would sit on the throne of David, his father, that all the promises were coming, were being fulfilled. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up a mighty Savior, born where? Born of the house of his servant David. Through his prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies. He promised to show mercy to our fathers. He promised to remember his holy covenant. He even swore an oath to our father Abraham to set us free. Free to worship him without fear every single day he gives us. And that John would be part of helping people know that these promises were all being fulfilled. And that's why we're able to say in the responsorial psalm today, the favors of the Lord I will sing forever. Through all generations, my mouth shall proclaim your faithfulness. God has prepared this gift for a millennium. In fact, from the beginning of time. Think about it. A lot of the times, you'll go out to the mall on December 24th and you'll find it mobbed, because that's how much preparation certain of us take in buying gifts for others. Oh, I gotta get something. I'll just go to JCPenney and see what I have, and I'll just get something, and then I'll wrap it up and I'll give it. Very little thought goes into it. Imagine if we thought for a month about what gift we'd give to somebody. Imagine if we thought for 6 months about the type of gift we'd give to somebody at Christmas. That would be a real sign of the love and the care that we have for someone. Imagine if we started planning for 1,000 years of the gift. Or imagine if before the foundation of the world, that's the type of preparation we started. That's how much God loves us. And he's faithful to that promise. If he were faithful to that promise and that covenant, then he's going to be faithful to every promise. What's the promise I want to focus on today? That he will save us from our sins and that he'll be with us until the end of time. The two sacraments he has given us that we can receive all the time because he knows we need it. The two great gifts he has planned from before the beginning of time. He's come to save us from our sins. He does that in baptism and confession. He's come to be God with us all the days of our life, so that we might worship him without fear. Therefore, what an unbelievable privilege we have in the continuing Bethlehem of the Mass every single day. It is worthwhile for us to have that sentiment of David, where we say, if the Lord has taken us from the dust and exalted us even higher than King David, because as Jesus said about John, he's the greatest of any born of woman, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John was greater than King David. And we, the least of us, is greater than John, because we have been made temples even more glorious than the one Solomon, David's son, built. If the Lord has taken us from the dust to this, we should want to spend our entire life singing the favors of the Lord. And when we do, that's when everyone will know what Christmas is about. That's the joy that is about. Today, as we come forward to adore and to receive within us the same Jesus whom the shepherds and the Magi adore, whom Mary carried within her for 9 months, let us ask the Lord to help us build ourselves as a true temple, fit to receive that presence far greater than the Ark of the Covenant, and then to inspire us to make of the church throughout the world this holy temple to which all the nations are called to stream.